Hello, and welcome to another episode of Breaking the Capsule. Here we open the capsule on several health conditions and concerns that may help you gain knowledge to better your well-being. How's it going, Nan?
Not too shabby today. Finished work, but actually got home about 10 minutes. No, 15 minutes later than expected because there's some road work on the way and then the freeway. Right. So they merge two lane into one. So that is like
bottleneck, bank up
for like good 20 minutes. So went home, rushed for dinners, and then straight to this.
All right.
Could have been earlier.
Very committed.
Yeah, very committed.
Nice.
How's things for you?
Yeah, going all right. Just getting a bit bored being in the house. But I heard they're easing restrictions, stage one from next week.
Oh, yeah, next Monday. So, I think that's what everyone, that's what's on everybody's mind.
Agenda. So you're going to go anywhere?
I got like some day off in the coming few weeks. So might go south, like not far, but you know, just go south just to relax from all the stress.
That's a good idea. Bit of getaway.
Yeah. Guess we can be back to gym soon, I suppose.
Yes,
I,
eventually.
Does it say they will open in phase two or phase three for gym?
I thought it was two, but I think it was one of those ones, depending on where we are at in terms of the situation. They might depend on stage two or three, but I thought it was more two. Well, I'm hoping two because it's getting kind of need to get back into shape as we talked about in episode one.
Yeah, I realized that sort of some of the pants are a little bit tighter.
Yeah.
Don't know.
In new clothes as well.
Oh, yeah, more money to spend. But the good thing is can go back to like restaurant and dining, like, because I miss my Korean barbecue.
Yes, lovely.
And good news is we can record face-to-face.
Oh, yes, we can finally meet up again.
Yeah, you know, not illegal stuff anymore. And futsal can be back as well, which I don't know, might be... I don't think going to be phase two, will be phase three because... I think phase two is maximum 20 people and non-contact sport. Yeah. So I doubt it's going to happen.
I heard EPL was rumored to come to WA for a bit.
I hope it's happened, but I don't think so.
Yes.
Like, think about it. They have to fly here and then they have 2 weeks quarantine and just waste too much time.
Can only dream.
Yeah, I can only dream. Did you see the things about Qatar Airways? They released some free flight tickets.
Oh, yes, 100,000 free flights.
Yeah? Have you done it?
Yeah. No, because I tried it the other day, but they had reached the quota for that day.
I woke up at 5 a.m. this morning because that's when they refresh.
Oh, yeah.
But
oh,
couldn't get it because everyone already got it. Too quick. No. So going to try again tomorrow.
So 5 a.m. is when...
5 a.m. Yeah, because they say 7 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. So that's 5 a.m., right?
Oh, yeah. So 5. Yeah.
So I'm going to try. I try to get two, and then Maldives can get another two. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. And then you'll have like a whole row to yourself?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much a business class.
Oh, yeah. Just make sure not to get a migraine while doing it because that wouldn't be pleasant.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever had migraine?
Yeah, a couple of times. It's not pleasant.
Oh, I didn't know you had migraine.
Yeah, I don't know triggers. So I've been trying to note down as to when it comes about, but sometimes they're just a bit random. So still trying to hone in as to why. But yeah, what about you?
Yes, I have migraine, but my type of migraine is a bit weird. Now I can't remember the type of migraine. It will come to my mind probably at the end of the podcast. Let's just proceed and then I'll let you know what type is it. Can't remember now.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to it. So let's start off with what is a migraine. So it's a neurological disorder that can be very distressing and disabling. So typically it's one-sided throbbing or pulsating headache that is at least moderately intense and can be aggravated by physical activity. It's often associated with nausea and vomiting, as well as increased sensitivity to light, sound, and even some types of smell. So just in contrast, a tension headache, it's another type of headache type. It's usually felt on both sides of the head. So it's a pressing or tightening sensation rather than a throbbing headache. And it's not made worse by activity or accompanied by nausea. So migraines are common and distressing. It's not likely to take life, but it can destroy quality of life at what might have been its most rewarding moments. So studies have shown that migraines affect over 3 million Australians, and it's thought that more women suffer migraines than men, and this is due to hormonal factors. Migraines can begin from childhood, but they often appear to people in their 20s or 30s. It's usually infrequent after the age of 40, so the prevalence increases from the first to the fourth decades of life, and after that, it sort of declines. However, it can be a significant health issue amongst children. So it's the third most common disease in the world. This is behind dental caries and tension type headaches, with an estimated global effect of about 14.7%. So about one in seven people.
More than COVID.
So it's more prevalent than diabetes, epilepsy, and asthma if you combine all of them together. So chronic migraines affect about 2% of the world's population. And it affects three times as many women as men, with this higher rate being most likely, like we said, due to hormones.
All right. So symptoms, why it vary a lot, but according to the International Headache Society, they classify headache as a migraine when the pain can be classified by at least two of the following: one-sided, moderate to severe, throbbing, aggravated by movement. And then there's at least one of the following associated symptoms, like nausea, vomiting, photophobia, which is like sensitivity to light, or phonophobia, which is sensitivity to noise. And the headache can last between 4 to 72 hours. Migraine may occur recurrently over many years or even decades. Frequency may vary greatly in the same person over time, from a few years up to several weeks. And in terms of migraine, they come in at different stages. And altogether, there are five distinct phases. So the first one is the early warning symptoms, which we call prodromal. So a significant numbers of migraine sufferers warning symptom for up to 24 hours before the attack start, but may not recognize this sign until they know what to look for. So these symptoms can include like changes in mood, feeling like elated, on top of the world, or full of energies, flying through the day's work and accomplishing twice as much as usual, which is, you know, sounds like a productive person. Gut symptoms, nausea, change in appetite, sometimes can be like constipation, diarrhea, or could be craving for a whole packet of biscuit or chocolates, etc. Is that sounds like yours?
Yep. I love my chocolates.
And then neurological changes like drowsiness, incessant yawning, difficulty finding the right words, dislike of light and sound, and then muscular symptoms like a bit general aches and pains, fluid balance changes, thirst, passing more fluid retention. And then the second phase is aura. So aura accompany migraine attack for about 20 to 30% of the time. The most common aura symptoms are visual disturbance, such as like bright zigzag lines, flashing lights, difficulty in focusing on blind spots. Aura affects the visual field of both eyes, despite often seeming to affect only one and last 5 to 60 minutes. Then the vision normally restores itself. Less commonly, aura affect sensations or speech. When several aura symptoms are present, they usually follow in succession. I remember when I had the migraine that time, like I couldn't look at the computer screen. I was actually at work and I couldn't, I was dispensing through a script halfway. And then I was like, oh, I can't even read. And then everything start blurry and
weird.
And then I thought like, because I never had migraine before, so I thought something wrong with my eye. So I went to see the optometrist next door. But yeah, they say it's a migraine.
Oh, okay. So did you end up getting the rest of the day off? Or
nah, I worked.
Power through?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a locum shift. So I was like, oh, I feel bad if I go home. So just do it.
Again, very committed.
I know.
Alrighty. So the next one is headache. So those experiencing the classical migraine, so migraine with aura, may or may not have a gap of up to an hour between the end of the aura and the onset of the head pain, and might feel a bit spaced out during the gap. Regardless of whether they experience migraine with aura or common migraine, which is without the aura, the headaches are similar. So the headache phase can last up to 3 days, and it's often like a throbbing on one side of the head, but can affect both. It can be on the same or opposite side to the aura. Movement also can make this worse. So the most common symptoms in this phase is usually nausea, vomiting, and sensitivity to light, sound, and smell. Eating can also help, especially if it's starchy foods. The symptoms can be more distressing than the headache itself. Then the next side we have resolution, so step four. So the way an attack ends can vary greatly depending person to person. So usually sleep tends to be quite a restorative goal for some. Being sick can make children feel much better. For others, effective medications can improve attacks, which we'll go through later. But unfortunately, there are a few people that nothing works and they just have to wait for the headache to burn itself out. And then the last is recovery, also known as postdromal. So it's the feeling of being drained might exist for about 24 hours after. So others may feel energetic or even euphoric, as Nan was mentioning. So what causes the migraine? So susceptibility to migraine is normally inherited. Certain parts of the brain employing monoamines, such as serotonin and noradrenaline, appear to be in a hypersensitive state, so reacting promptly and excessively to stimuli such as emotion, bombardment, with sensory impulses, or any sudden change in an internal or external environment. If the brainstem systems controlling the cerebral cortex become active, the brain starts to shut down, a process starting at the back of the brain in the visual cortex and working slowly forward. The pain nucleus of the trigeminal nerve becomes spontaneously active and the pain is felt in the head or the upper neck, and blood flow in the face and scalp increases reflexively. Noradrenaline is released from the adrenal gland and causes the platelets to release serotonin, which in the circulation is thought to reflect levels of this neurotransmitter in the brain. So the brainstem nuclei of one side have a reciprocal effect on those on the other side. So their effects may alternate, causing cortical changes on one side and headache on the other, or causing the headache itself to change from side to side. So essentially the migraine is caused by the interaction between the brain and the cranial blood vessels. So treatment can be aimed at constriction of dilated arteries to stop each headache as it comes, or at the brain itself in an attempt to prevent the headaches altogether. This is the present hypothesis for the mechanism by which migraineous symptoms are produced.
Okay, so that sounds very technical, but that's pretty much that's how's migraine work, and it takes very long time for scientists to actually figure it out. And they're still discovering a lot more nowadays in terms of migraine, and there's new medication which are invented to tackle the new pathway that they discovered. So there's a few types of migraine. Apart from the common migraine and migraine with aura, there are a few other types of migraine. The lower half headache or the facial migraine. So this term applies to common migraine that cover one half of the face, involving the nostril, cheek and jaw. Migraine aura with a headache. So where the headache of migraine with aura may become less severe over the years or may not occur at all. The attack referred to as migraine aura without headache. It is rare for attack to have always occurred without headache, and a doctor should be consulted if this developed for first time or if you're over 50. Status, migrainosis. So this is like the migraine that lasts longer than 72 hours. Symptoms are like nausea and light sensitivity resolve after a couple of days, but the headaches do stay. The next one is abdominal migraine. So symptoms are periodic abdominal pains experienced by about 20% of migrainous children, compared with about 4% of the children who do not suffer from headache. It's very rare type. There are a few rare type of migraine include basilar artery migraine. Symptoms include visual disturbance, giddiness, loss of balance, slow speech, followed by aching mainly in the back of the head. Fainting can occur at the height of the attack.
So then we've also got hemiplegic migraines, so with weakness on one side of the body. So the symptoms resemble a stroke and may progress until the arm and leg on one side are completely paralyzed for a few hours. Repeated attacks may leave a residual weakness. The other type is ophthalmoplegic migraine. So this is with double vision. So a symptom is paralysis of one or more of the muscles moving the eyes, resulting in eyes moving out of alignment and the person seeing double. Retinal migraine, so with loss of vision in one eye. So a symptom is loss of sight in one eye and normal vision in the other. The sight clears, leaving an ache behind the eye or a generalized headache. And migraineous infarction. So symptoms range from permanent blind spots to a full stroke occurring during a typical migraine attack. So an infarct is the death of the tissue due to an inadequate blood supply. So now we move on to some triggers. So what could be the reasons? So triggers are many and varied, and they're not the same for everyone, and not necessarily the same for different attacks in the same person. Identifying triggers may be complicated by the fact that it often takes a combination of triggers to set off a headache. So we'll categorize them. So one is dietary triggers. So these are quite common. Well-recognized dietary triggers include missed, delayed or inadequate meals, caffeine withdrawal, so your coffee and tea, certain wines, beers and spirits, chocolates, citrus fruits, aged cheeses, and cultural products, and dehydration. And sorry, monosodium glutamate, also known as MSG. Then we've got environment. You had your MSG lots during uni?
Yeah. Well, if you go to a Chinese restaurant, that's pretty much MSG guarantee. yeah. I always get headache after having MSG anyway, like going to like dim sum or like this few Japanese place I always go to, they always have MSG. Mm-hmm. So expect it, but it's good. Tastes good.
Could you take like a couple of Panadols beforehand? Would that?
Doesn't do anything.
Didn't know.
Okay. I need codeine. Nah.
Need codeine. Alrighty. The next basket we've got is environmental triggers. So these include bright or flickering lights, so bright sunlight, strong smells, so like perfume, gasoline, chemicals, smoke-filled rooms, various food odors. Sometimes I get triggered by, like, you know how if some people wear really strong perfume?
Oh, yeah.
And they walk past you? That tends to just go right behind my eyes and just trigger it really bad.
Yeah. I do get headache from those as well.
Then you got travel, so travel-related stress, high altitude and flying sometimes. Weather changes, so that could be changes in barometric pressure or like decompression after deep sea diving, loud sounds, going to the movies, and computers, as you experienced.
Yeah, I think it's either the computers or the light on that day is really bright. I don't know. Or maybe coffee withdrawal.
Oh, and also it's a new environment.
Not really. I worked there for a whole year during internship, so it's not really a new environment. I don't know.
Okay.
Okay. So the next triggers is the hormonal triggers. So hormonal fluctuations are implicated as a significant triggers for women, as three times as many women suffer from migraine headaches as men. This difference being most apparent during the reproductive years. So hormonal triggers may be like climacteric, so first menstrual period, menstruation, ovulation, oral contraceptive, pregnancy, on HRT, which is the hormonal replacement therapy during menopausal and menopause. Physical and emotional triggers, so lack of sleep or oversleeping, illness such as like infections or getting cold, back and neck pain, stiff and painful muscle, especially in the scalp, jaw, neck, shoulder, and upper back. Sudden excessive or vigorous exercise, regular exercise can however prevent migraine. If migraine is triggered by a blow to the head, a doctor should be consulted. Emotional triggers, such as like arguments, excitement, stress, muscle tensions, relaxation after stress, like weekend headache, that's what we call. So treatment of migraine, there are a lot of medication out there that being used for migraine. So some can be just simple over-the-counter medication, some can be prescription-only stuff. So you divided them into two branch. One is for acute treatment and the other type is for preventions of migraines. So in terms of acute treatment, so you can get like aspirin, which not recommended for young kid because of the Ray syndromes, but adult normally respond well and recommend to use a soluble form, especially with migraine sufferer who have like vomiting and nausea symptoms. Simple paracetamol, some non-steroidal anti-inflammatory like ibuprofen, naproxen sort of thing. Some prescription stuff in Australia, we got through this serotonin molecule. Best to use as soon as you can. And then you got some like anti-nausea medication as well, which are often prescribed with other form of therapies to minimize the nausea that often accompany of migraine, like metoclopramide, procalprazine, domperidone, etc.
All right, so onto the preventive treatment. So prophylactic preventive medication is taken daily, monthly, or at regular intervals, regardless of whether a headache is present, to reduce the incidence of severe or frequent headaches. So these can include your beta blockers such as propranolol, timolol, atenolol, and as Nan said, metoprolol. Wasn't mentioned before. So metoprolol. And so that blocks the beta receptors on which the adrenaline works. And so that helps on the blood vessels. You've got your serotonin antagonists such as pizotifin, so sandomigraine, and periactin. Sodium valproate, such as like or valproic acid like Epilim, calcium channel blockers like verapamil. So this stops the constriction of blood vessels and prevents the use of calcium necessary, which is happening in the reaction. Antidepressants such as amitriptyline have an action on headache that's independent of their antidepressant action. Botox. It's not just a beauty treatment. It's been proven to help with chronic migraines, and it's also listed on the PBS. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, it's actually, well, I sort of know about it because Mallory's was working in hospital, and then they use a lot of Botox for, actually Botox used for a lot of things, I don't know, not just migraine. And it's not cheap treatment either. Sometimes the private health doesn't cover it, but like, a lot of the time, the pharmacist's job is they write a special letter to the private health and so to get them pay for it because it's not cheap at all. And yeah, they generally do pay it, but I mean, that's depend on the circumstances.
Yeah. Cool. You've got feverfew, so that's a herbal remedy. Vitamin B2, riboflavin, usually 200 milligrams twice daily has been reported to work. There's a couple of injections Nan will go through as well.
Yeah, so those are the new injection. It's actually came out not too long ago. So we got Aeranumab, which is a brand name, is Aimovig. It's very popular amongst the migraine sufferers because I'm on this like sort of forum. And then since this injection came out, people keep talking about it, try to get it to be put on PBS because it's actually not cheap. It's like you only have to do it like once a month or every 2 weeks or so. But it's still like it's add up because it's like about $400-$500 a shot. So you can't just spend $500 every month. That's just crazy. Another new one that came out last year, Galcanezumab. The brand name is Emgalities. Also, about $300 a month, I think. But still, it's not cheap either. They are very good in terms of reducing the episode of migraine that you might have and prevent it. But hopefully, it will come on the pharmaceutical benefit scheme to help with the migraine sufferer.
Alrighty. And last of all, we've got complementary therapies. So acupuncture. So stimulating acupoints may ease pain by encouraging production of endorphins, so like your natural painkillers. Massage, so it can reduce muscle tension throughout the body. Meditation, so a recent study on migraine prevention through meditation has had very promising results. Physiotherapy, so treating muscle tension can release pressure that may lead to headaches. Relaxation techniques, so this is geared towards reducing pressure in the body and the level of stress chemicals that may worsen headaches. And last of all, yoga can relieve muscle tensions in the back of the neck and correct posture.
I got a question. Is yoga, this is nothing related to migraine, but is yoga somehow related to, is it like some of the pose is like you're praying to Hindu god, is it?
I mean,
that's what I've been told, but I don't know if it's true.
I usually just pray there, just, you know, standing up or sitting down. I don't usually do any particular pose. Like, I mean, you can cross your legs and do particular exercises, but yeah, I mean, I guess it could be in a way.
All right. All right. I'm just curious.
I'll have to get back to you on that.
All right, that's fine. So that's pretty much migraine in a capsule. Very common medical conditions, as we mentioned. Third in the world. Anything in the podium is good. But in terms of treatment, there's a lot out there. So as long as you get on top of things, it shouldn't affect your life too much. And relaxation is very important as well in the migraine treatment. Do you have anything else to add on?
No, that's about it.
All right. Thanks for that. So again, if you like this episode, please subscribe. And if you have questions, send us an email at contact@breakingthecapsule.com. Otherwise, we'll see you guys next week.
See you then.
Bye.
All of the information provided on this podcast is for educational purposes only. If you have any questions, please see your healthcare professional.